Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, you have a cordial invitation to stay with me because it's going to be a few moments of inspiration, some motivation, a little bit of education, but all done with no manipulation, which always means we don't try to coerce you into doing something. This is not an infomercial, so I'm not soliciting anything. I'm not trying to get you to join anything. I'm just here to give you accurate information, information that I pray will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you can do that, you're free to orient and adjust to the plan. That's really up to you, but my job is to be accurate, not sensational, but to be accurate and to give you the information. You're smart enough to know whether or not it's true, and God the Holy Spirit will verify that in your life. If it's a lie, if I'm crazy, you can figure that out too. And so take a moment. Take a moment and listen. If this is your first time to ever tune in to The Flatline in your city, we broadcast every Sunday morning, same time, same place. And this show is always about giving you the information that you need so that you can live life at its fullest. The concept is that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. Adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. But by using the biblical problem-solving devices, which we call a flatline, military term, flatline, by establishing a flatline in your soul, you will be able to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside source of stress. And if there's anything that's stressful to most Americans today, it's when they look ahead into the future of the United States of America. It doesn't take a genius to see that a train wreck is coming. All you have to do is realize that we have lost our sense of standards. Very few people have standards today. You know, the Bible talks about divine standards, divine establishment standards. And those standards include at least four things that I can identify for you. Number one is marriage. Marriage is a divine institution ordained by God Himself in eternity past, when He created Eve and brought her to Adam, one man, one woman. And that standard is being attacked today. And also, the family is a divine institution established by God for the orderly raising and function of children, teaching children humility, teaching children respect for authority. And the family is being broken today. I myself am the result of a broken family, never having known my father, being raised by a single mother, shipped about from guardian to guardian, went to five different grammar schools, until eventually a high school football coach took notice and began to be as much of a father as I ever really had. But that's typical of families today. So many young men and young ladies are fatherless. My own wife faced this in her life, as she grew up without a father, and many of her sisters were spread around to guardians. She herself grew up with a guardian. And so we know about this. Broken families. Families that don't have moms and pops. And when I meet a young person who has a mom and a pop and grandparents, and they're establishment-oriented, they're always really great young people. Most of the time, they have a great opportunity to get it right. Now, some go goofy and go astray. There's no doubt about that, especially with the temptations they face today. But a good family is where it starts. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents and honor your father and your mother. And the mandate also continues and says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Nurture is the Greek word nousia. It means to put something in their mind. And admonition is the Greek word padia, which means to put something on their seat. So life is about making choices, and you have two ends, a head and a tail. And heads you win, tails you lose. It's just that simple. So a family is essential, and that today is very rare in America. Many of our inner city children don't know their father, don't even know their mother, some of them. We're seeing the family being broken. We're seeing freedom being slowly eroded with government intervention telling you what you can and cannot do, what you must have for health insurance, who must live beside you. I think that's the latest thing now is just like they decided who you need to go to school with, now they're going to decide who needs to live in your neighborhood. That's been the latest thing on the news that I've been reading. And nationalism. Nationalism. This is respect for America. That's your concept of being American and being proud of it. And there's a loss of respect today. Today we are a fractured nation. It's not I'm an American. It's I'm a Mexican-American, an African-American, or whatever American. Oh, how I wish people would just get back to being Americans. That's the concept of nationalism. You know, everything in America today seems to be relative. Relativity, that seems to be the name of the game today. And it's based on humanism. There are no standards. Relativity says whatever is right for the moment, that's the way that we ought to go. Humanism operates on that sort of relativity. And in America today, there's no doubt the progressive agenda operates on this relative type thinking. And the progressive agenda in America is seen every day. Anyone can look at the trends of history. Anyone can see what's happening in this nation. We're fractured. We're in economic decline. We're in national debt. The wealthy are vilified as leeches. This economic decline, if it doesn't stop, you can look it up on the internet yourself. You can see the national debt. You can see how much money we owe. Where does it stop? Who is going to stop it? Oh, I know you say we're going to elect a person, and that person is going to be a great politician, and they're going to solve our problems. Well, not according to the Bible. Not until the Antichrist comes on the scene, if, in fact, America is even still here when that happens. But the Bible clearly says in Jeremiah, cursed is the man who trusteth in man. These are satanic problems, and there's only a godly solution, and it's not going to be from some politician who wants to stay in power in Washington. Economic decline, national debt, entitlements continue to grow daily. And what's weird is the people who receive the entitlements seem to hate the working class that gives the money to pay for the entitlements. Our enemies continue to test and push us in our foreign policies. We've had loss of international influence. The military seems to be a studio for social change today. Let's see what we can change, and let's start with the military. And you don't need me to go through all the news about that. You've read about what's going on within the walls of the United States military organization, the changes that even the chaplains are facing, and what they can talk about and what they can't talk about, and even worse, the church in America is becoming impotent. They're substituting ritual for reality, substituting emotions for thinking. It's as if they don't want you to think. They just want you to come and sing a few stanzas of happy, 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 clappy, clappy, clappy. Look at something up on the board and read those words and sing it about 9 times and get a little 5-minute encouraging sermon and go on your way. That's not thinking. That's not learning. Can we survive like this? Will you survive like this? Will your children and your grandchildren survive and even prosper in the future? And the answer is no. Not like we're going. There's a train wreck coming. It doesn't take a genius to see it. Politicians see it also. They're just not going to tell you that. Not on their watch, because they don't want to lose their power, their influence. You're hoping we're going to elect some person who'll solve this? Not going to happen. The question I have to ask you is, are you a fair-weather Christian? Are you enjoying all the prosperity, all the pleasure you have in your life, and forgetting the giver that gave it to you? That's a tragedy if that's true. That train wreck is coming down the line, and part of it, only part I can really address, since I'm not an economic genius, I'm not a political person, but I can address what's going on in the ministry because that's my house, that's where I live. The Bible is very clear. When our Lord sent out the disciples two by two, he warned them to be careful of the wolves in sheep's clothing. One of my friends, who's a pastor up in the great state of Pennsylvania, called these men the canine clergy. The canine clergy in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of the false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, and you will know them by their fruits." The fruits are the production of their ministry. And we have this going on in the ministry today. And listen, Moses wrote about this in Deuteronomy. He said, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' don't listen to him." Don't listen to the words of this prophet or the dreamer of this dream. "For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his mandates and obey his voice. And you will serve him and hold fast to him." This is interesting. He's testing you to see if you love him with all of your heart. That's where it starts. Every motivation in your soul starts with personal love for God. 1 John 5:1 says, well, actually 5:3, 1 John 5:3 says, "If you love me, you will keep my mandates, and my mandates are not grievous." This love for God is reciprocal. The Bible tells us we love God because God first loved us. You remember John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You remember where the Bible says, "What greater love could a man have than this, that he lay down his life for his friend?" Your heavenly Father loves you, and Jesus Christ, his anointed Son, our Savior, loves you. I remember feeling not loved in my life, and I think there's nothing worse than to have that lonely, empty feeling, thinking nobody loves you and nobody cares about you. And this is what drives people to seek acceptance from their peers, just wanting somebody to love them, somebody to pay attention to them. This is what leads lonely ladies into doing things they shouldn't do, and lonely boys and lonely men into doing things they shouldn't do. Even gangs, this is what establishes a gang, is acceptance and love by the gang leader. America is searching for love. People want to be loved. And yet they're not telling them. Anyone's not telling them, not many people, are telling them that God loves them, that Christ gave his life for them. And if anyone does try to tell them that, then they're demonized, ostracized. They're told to shut up. Don't talk about that sort of stuff. It's illegal to mention that to children in schools, or it's illegal to mention that to a soldier in the military. It's illegal to do that on the street corner. You know, so many Christians have been so full of self-righteous arrogance. I don't blame the government in some cases for being sick of them, because the last thing you and I need is some self-righteous Christian sticking his nose into our business, trying to tell us how we're supposed to live our life according to what he thinks the Bible says. We all know about that, don't we? But when this thing says in this verse that you should walk after the Lord your God and respect him and keep his mandates and obey his voice and serve him, that doesn't mean you have to be a missionary. That doesn't mean you have to give up all of your rights and never again have any fun. What that means is honor and love and respect God Almighty himself. Recognize who you are and who he is and how we got where we are today. I mean, come on, both prophecy and dreams were legitimate forms of revelation when Moses wrote this. But sometimes false prophets could produce a wonder, so the people had to be very discerning about the direction that the false prophet was taking them. That's what you must look for. Which direction is your pastor taking you? Is he taking you in the direction of absolute standards? Or is he taking you in the direction of relativism, into where we establish different standards every day according to the needs of the day? In Deuteronomy 18, Moses wrote again, "The prophets who presume to speak a word in my name," this is speaking as God as he wrote it, "those prophets which I have not commanded to speak, those prophets who speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him." Deuteronomy 18, 20 and 22. And Jeremiah addressed the same issue. Judah had split from the northern kingdom, become the southern kingdom. They were about to go under discipline from God. And the preachers and the prophets were saying everything was okay. Everything was peachy. Everything was rosy. Listen to this. Jeremiah 23, 25. "I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed." How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. And they try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. But the one who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? You know, I hear a lot about dreams today. I hear a lot of humanist speakers telling young people, dream your dreams. Live big. You can do it. And there's nothing wrong with encouraging a student or a young adult to set a goal in his life. What's wrong is failing to understand how God has assigned to each one of us a personal sense of destiny, how God has a plan for our lives. And it's not all about human energy and human effort. See, that sort of dream is a dream to nowhere. It's a lie. It's a cosmic recruiter luring you into the cosmic vortex, which will take you off down the my way highway until eventually you're frustrated and you bomb. And your life becomes so confusing that you try to back up and start again. You dream that if you married this girl, you'd be happy, and you married that girl, and what a nightmare that turned out to be. Or you dreamed if you could just find this kind of guy, you'd be happy. Are you? No, you know you're not. Because you were living by a dream, not by a standard. Prophets in the Bible were spokesmen for God, and they directed the nation. And priests in the Bible were designated to teach the law so the people could distinguish between that thing that was clean and unclean. They also oversaw the religious ceremonies of the days. But in the days of Jeremiah, these prophets of Baal, they caused Israel to err morally, to err mentally and spiritually away from the God's norms and standards. And they proclaimed the peace was coming. And he didn't warn the people of Judah about discipline that was coming down the pipe. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 10:21, "For the shepherds have become stupid. They have not sought the Lord. They have not prospered, and their flock is scattered." There's nothing worse than a stupid shepherd. You know, to me, that's a pastor that won't study. That's a pastor that got out of seminary and threw his books away and said, "I'm all about loving people." And so his ministry is predicated on personal contact with people, counseling and loving, and that's all great and fine and wonderful, but that the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." The Bible says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ himself said, "Come unto me, all you that heavy laden, and learn of me." Learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Study, grow, learn. That, you know, that's not loving everybody. If you don't have a pastor that teaches you something, you're never going to be able to live the Christian life effectively because you can't live it based on your emotions. The Christian life is a supernatural life, and it requires a supernatural power to live it. And that's why we have these verses and a verse like Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ said, when I go away, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and He will lead you into all truth. Truth is the Scripture. The truth is the Bible. That's why Paul wrote and said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And that's why 1 Corinthians 2:16 says the New Testament is the mind of Christ. The New American Standard Bible says in Jeremiah 23:21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to the people. And this would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Where are the prophets that will pronounce the word of God today? Forget people who are going to say, let's have a moment of silent prayer. A moment of silent prayer means a lot of things to a lot of different people. Where's the pastor that would stand and pray in the name of Jesus Christ and not make a mockery of it? Where is the politician that would pray and beg God for forgiveness for the sins of our nation, for the direction that we've turned? Oh, they're not going to do that because they're not going to admit what's happening. You know, for a prophet like Jeremiah to preach the truth to a nation that was going down into destruction was a very hard thing to do. In Jeremiah 4:19, he said, oh, my soul, my soul. Jeremiah said, I am pained in my heart. It's hard to preach the truth. Number one, because it's not accepted. That doesn't mean you condemn people. That doesn't mean you point out people's sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying preach the truth. Teach the Bible. Teach the execution of the spiritual life. Teach the Word of God. Teach the prophecy of the future and what's coming down the pipe, and so that we're encouraged, as in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which remain are alive together shall be caught up with them with the clouds to be with the Lord in the air, and thus shall we evermore be with the Lord. This is where your encouragement comes from. This is where the mechanics come from. Not trying to give some psycho babble that make people feel better about themselves, some humanistic self-esteem. There is a spiritual self-esteem. Yes, you can feel better about yourself based on the biblical mandates found in the Word of God and know that you're living accordingly. The message of the false prophet is always based on lies and deceit. And don't forget, Satan is a master at deception, and his objective is always to distract you from the spiritual skills you need to live the Christian life and replicate Christ in you to a lost and dying nation. Remember, our Lord sent those disciples out and told them the field is white for harvest, but the laborers are few. You know, people have a tendency to focus on people, don't we? And as I told you earlier, Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man who trusts in man. People have a tendency to focus on things. And Hebrews 13:5 says, let your manner of life be without covetousness. Don't be looking around thinking, if I live like my neighbor lived, I'd really be happy. He's got a new car and a new boat and a new home, a new wife, a new husband. That's what I need. No. That's what the world tells you. That's the deception of Satan. It's intended to delude you. It seeks to impose a misleading belief upon you, trying to trick you or fool you. It seems like politicians are good at deluding the public today into thinking they have it all under control, when all you have to do is look at the news and see they don't have anything under control. We're spiraling into descent. We're spiraling into a train wreck. But elect them again. Oh, they'll fix it. Yeah, they're going to fix it. Just like they fixed it 4 years ago, 8 years ago. Nobody's fixed it because it's not a political problem. It's a spiritual problem. We have turned our back on God. We have walked away from the very blessing that established us and made us who we are. And that's the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's now become a crime to mention his name. It's now become a crime to mention what the Bible says about certain issues in life. Deception. Lying leaders are strengthened by lying prophets, pastors, who coordinate with them and agree with them. They're in collusion or cooperation. This misdirection didn't occur overnight. The deception that came preceded the misdirection that we are moving in today. You know, what's interesting is the deceiver can appear to be one of the flock. He can look like a sheep. He can even baa like a sheep. But he has the heart of a wolf. And our Lord warned them about this. And so the Bible says his intention is to devour and destroy any person or group of persons who adhere to the protocol plan of God. That's Satan's intention. In 2 Corinthians 11:13, do not be surprised if his servants also distinguish themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their own deeds. In 2 Timothy 4:1, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. False teachers are part of this strategy. They have a phony, hypocritical facade. They are bleeding hearts who love everybody, being all things to all men, and not having any standards based on the Word of God. Oh, they'll seek to stimulate your ego. They'll seek to massage your ego, but they won't give you truth. And without truth, the world will perish. America's headed for the train wreck, and unless the truth comes back, nothing will stop it. This train has no brakes. And that's why we say the things we do on this show. Pray for us. We continue to speak out. I pray you continue to listen. And I pray you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.